Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Andre Holgate. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, and it is the week of the 4th of July holiday. It will be incredibly hot in the 90s every single day this week. What a way to get July started. So while the country and national media was focusing on all the action in the Supreme Court last week, one huge story that was flying under the radar is the report that J.P. Morgan's trading losses are quite a bit more than the $2 billion initially reported. It now looks like the bank has lost as much as $9 billion in failed trades. Jim Sinegal is the Associate Director of Equity Analysis at Morningstar. He joins us now to try to explain what went so horribly wrong at J.P. Morgan. Jim, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thanks for having me.
Off the bat, a Fortune named Morningstar one of the 100 best companies to work for in 2012. If you could quickly tell me, what exactly does Morningstar do? Where are you based? And what makes it the greatest place to work?
We are an investment research and data provider. We're based in Chicago, but we do have offices around the world. And I think one of the best things, in my opinion, about working at Morningstar is the culture here. It's a very friendly, very academic, very open type of culture. And I think that's a really good thing when it comes to providing research and independent opinions.
So you're the J.P. Morgan analyst for Morningstar. Is it clear what exactly went so horribly wrong with this trade and how the bank allowed for things to get so out of control?
I think we have a general idea of what happened, but as far as the specifics, the details of the trades and the numbers around them, it's still all speculation at this point. Basically, what had happened is the bank had been trying to hedge some of its credit exposure. You know, obviously, as a bank, it's one of its biggest risks is credit exposure. It thought, management thought, if things get really bad in Europe, around the world, we need to hedge some of this risk. So it seems like it started off as a hedge. At one point, the bank decided it was maybe a good time to scale back that position. You know, without getting into arcane details, instead of just selling some of the position they had, it seems like they took on further, more complicated positions as kind of hedges against hedges. Eventually, the market went against them, and they found themselves in a pretty tight situation.
Is there any idea how long they were in these trades and at what point they started going south on them?
Yeah, it looks like they were in these trades since perhaps the end of last year. You know, in the first quarter, it looks like the trades really started to go against them. And by March or April, it had come to the attention of management. And that's when they really had an all-hands-on-deck type moment in terms of trying to get out of this trade and disclose as much as they could about potential losses.
Now, is this an anomaly? It seems that banks probably do quite a lot of trading and probably take major losses along with major wins. How would you compare this loss to what we've seen in the past with banks?
You know, I don't think it's that unusual. There are a couple things that make it an interesting situation. Number one, it's J.P. Morgan. Kind of throughout the last 5 years when the rest of the banks were blowing up, J.P. Morgan really did a great job of navigating the crisis and avoiding risk. So for something like this, which looks like you know, a pretty big oversight to come out of the best managed banks, that makes it a little bit unusual. The second thing is that there's still a lot of debate around the Volcker Rule. Banks are not supposed to be doing any proprietary trading going forward. And these positions, you know, although I said there aren't a lot of details out yet, it's not clear whether these were really hedges, whether it was a proprietary trade being made at the bank. You know, the definitions on that aren't clear. It's a major issue that regulators are discussing. So I think that's an important thing to be aware of.
I'm talking to Jim Sinegal, Associate Director of Equity Analysis at Morningstar. Jim, can you give me a sense of J.P. Morgan's financial standing and how a loss of this size, $9 billion or so, is absorbed by the institution?
You know, one thing they have going for them is that they're in a pretty good capital position, and they're still making a lot of money in other parts of the businesses. You know, J.P. Morgan has been making several billion dollars a quarter for a few quarters running now. So this is a loss that even if it becomes the worst case, a $9 billion loss, you know, as I said, is still speculation and is almost twice as high as the bank's own forecast of how bad it could get. It's a loss that they could handle with one or two quarters of earnings. I think that the bigger factor is, you know, how is this going to play out going forward in terms of greater regulation? J.P. Morgan was kind of the model bank in terms of controlling risk and, you know, showing that a bank can be large and still managed well. It's not clear after this trade, especially if it gets larger, if that's going to still be the case.
J.P. Morgan Chief Executive Officer Jamie Dimon did appear before Congress. He spoke a lot about government regulators and that there's this complex web of different regulators the bank has to deal with. Are regulators usually made aware of these kinds of trades that led to this loss?
I think in most cases they would be, although one of Dimon's main talking points was that the regulators depend on the bank for information, and since they had kind of messed up internally, it's very possible that the regulators didn't get the correct information to act on. But this is definitely something that management should have seen earlier, that regulators could have seen earlier. So I think that's kind of the bottom line there, is a lot of people had to flip up for this trade to get by.
I see. Now, you said it was a hedge and a hedge on a hedge and so on. So, I mean, have we seen this effort before, and has it sometimes been successful to get a bank out of a tight spot?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's been reported that the trader and especially the unit of J.P. Morgan this took place in, they did a great job hedging similar credit risks in the past, both on the corporate side and a few years ago on the subprime mortgage side. So, they'd done a really good job of hedging in the past. This is just one that was a bad decision that ended up getting away from them.
Is it clear how well-funded J.P. Morgan is right now when you're looking at a $9 billion loss? I mean, how does that compare to how much money they actually have on hand?
J.P. Morgan has well over $100 billion in capital and several billion dollars in loan loss reserves. There are some other things they can do against this. They have some securities and an unrealized gain position that they can use to offset this loss. So those are a few of the things that make this loss not that big a deal in the short term, or really the long term in terms of the bank's performance. It would have to be a much bigger loss to really take down the bank or cause them to have to raise more equity, something of that nature.
So what are the implications to the banking industry of a trade like this? When you're looking at things that are so complicated, regulators can't even really have a clear understanding of what's happening. Who really is in control, and who can really say when things have gone too far?
That's a great question. Even if I were to be given the exact details of the trade, I don't know if I could tell you whether I'd consider it a hedge against some of their other positions or a proprietary trade. I think at some point both bear some responsibility. You can't leave everything up to management, especially in an institution like a bank where the taxpayers through deposit insurance and things like that have some involvement. But you can't necessarily leave everything up to regulators either. They're not going to catch everything. So I think both regulators and management bear some responsibility.
Now, you say the details are still unknown. Do they become known at some point? And as an analyst, do you really take a close look on how a trade like this is unfolds?
I think at some point they're going to have to disclose some of the specifics. I don't know if we'll ever get complete details on the size of the position, what credit derivatives they were trading in. It may be something they don't want to disclose for a variety of reasons, but it depends how far this goes. There are a lot of investigations going on, even on the law enforcement side. I don't expect anything to come of that, but with so many regulators and law enforcement investigating the trade, we could get some details, and it would be nice to get some details. One of the big problems with these large banks is there's not a lot of transparency. The credit default indices that these trades are rumored to have been made in, I don't think there's something that a lot of people had heard about before this, even if you would have read all of J.P. Morgan's filings for the last 10 years. So hopefully we'll get some more transparency out of this eventually.
One last thing. In terms of these kinds of wins and losses, banks then typically make trades that might make them several billion or maybe lose that money. I mean, how did this particular trade get so much news media attention?
I think what happened is that the trader, J.P. Morgan, had basically cornered the market in an obscure corner of the derivatives, the credit default market, and some other traders had kind of gotten upset about that and brought this trade to the attention of the news media. Once that happened, more traders were able to pile on against J.P. Morgan, and the trade went against them in a way that perhaps it might not ever have happened if the people on the other side of the trade had not gone to the media. I think that's the my speculation as to how this all developed and how it got out of control. And I think the size of it just escaped the attention of too many people at J.P. Morgan for too long.
That's fascinating in the sense that it really confirms the need for a bank to be incredibly secretive about its trading positions.
And that's exactly right.
Jim Sinegal, he's the Associate Director of Equity Analysis at Morningstar. Jim, thank you so much for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be right back for feedback. Our email address is ccrecap@gmail.com. Please send us a line. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.